It's time for slam.
We back. Welcome to another episode of the Highline Podcast. By the voice, you can tell it's me, the voice of reason, the voice of truth. Man who speaks the truth, only truth and nothing but the truth. Back again for another episode with the man, the myth, the legend himself, Udwak. Thank you for coming back. Actually, the people really like you. They all agree with your take that Man City is boring. So thank you for coming back on the show. And then we actually have a first timer on the show. A round of applause. I've been begging this guy to come on the show for a year now, but he finally agreed to come today. You might have heard his name listening to the episodes, but thank you for coming on the show, Welly.
Thanks, Robin.
Diehard Liverpool fan I know I've met in my life. But yeah, obviously you can tell he's on the show today. Back to back big games for Liverpool. They ended up defeating City today, but before we get to Welly's take on the game, let's go to Udwak, because to be fair, he's a senior on the show. So Udwak, what did you make of the game?
I was very surprised. I won't lie. I kind of underestimated Liverpool.
I
look at it because of their form, obviously, because of Man City's form. And I've been seeing all these memes on... I've seen all those memes on Twitter about how they're doing countdown for Van Dijk's record, his Anfield record. I think it got to my head. And like the first 30 minutes, seeing how Liverpool started, and I don't think Man City had a clear-cut chance in that game.
Yep.
Literally. Haaland, Joe Gomez and Van Dijk did a good job on him. And the midfield has played well. I think Fabinho had, his best game of the season so far. Thiago was Thiago. And Salah, you know. He showed people, like, I don't know why people don't ever, obviously, you know, Cancelo is good at attacking, but like, showed people how vulnerable Cancelo is defensively, but nobody ever really seems to talk about that, because they are always in possession, to be fair, but yeah, Liverpool played very well.
So before we get into the nuances, well, what did you make of the game?
Personally, I was surprised as well, because like, when I saw the lineup,
You did predict 3-1 City.
Yeah, I didn't give us any chance at all. Because like I didn't see any way to stop Haaland or create chances, to be fair.
In general, I thought it was a really good performance from Liverpool. Like Udwak said, Thiago was Thiago. Thiago is probably my favorite player in the Premier League right now. Like, I'm talking about including Arsenal players without Arsenal players. Thiago is probably my favorite player in the entire Premier League.
What do you mean, including Arsenal players? Is there an Arsenal player that's better than Thiago?
Keep quiet. Maybe you don't know how to
bring Arsenal into this conversation.
Thiago played extremely well today. I told you about the difference between Robertson and Tsimikas. Robertson is just a different planet to him. James Milner actually did way better than I thought. Virgil van Dijk defended with his life, bro. But obviously, we talk about Salah. I thought Jota was amazing. He just wasn't decisive in the final third. I thought Firmino had a pretty good game as well. Fabinho, like you said, had his best game of the season. I've mentioned Jota. Harvey Elliott, same thing with Firmino. Same thing with Jota, was pretty good. But in the final third, he just missed that spark. But, guy, you guys seem to have forgotten one person, man. AB1, Alisson, best goalkeeper in the world. I saw a stat today that since he moved to Liverpool, he's had 5 goals and assists.
That part.
5 goals and assists for a goalkeeper is ridiculous, bro. Is disgusting.
No, give me 5 assists and a goal.
No? 4 assists and 1 goal.
Yeah, okay. Okay, 5 goals and assists. Okay. Yeah. You think he's top 3 in the world?
Out of his 6-year goal.
Do I think what?
You think Alisson Becker is top 3 goalkeepers in the world?
He's the best keeper in the world. I was telling them the pod the other day. I said it straight up. Alisson is the best goalkeeper in the world. I don't think anybody comes close to him in terms of his ability when you consider shot stopping and distribution. He's elite in both aspects. So what more do you want
from your goalkeeper?
Elite. He commands his area so well. Claims crosses. he's elite. Like, he's the textbook definition of a perfect goalkeeper. No more than day back, any type of day goalkeeper. Alisson would be a top, any era he played in, he would be a top keeper in the
world. Like, that Salah goal, I feel like Alisson would have made, like, he might have still scored him, but it made it difficult and made himself bigger. Mm-hmm, like, Alisson gave Salah a lot.
But that's Salah's trademark finish as well, to be fair. I've seen him rifle that in net against Arsenal. I know that might have reminded you of Bellerin when you guys won us 4-0. But from a City point of view, what did you guys make of the game? I thought they were too stagnant. I thought it wasn't as fluid as we see from Man City. I thought Van Dijk and Gomez did a spectacular job on Haaland. People are already dubbing VVD the Haaland stopper. Two goals, two games, zero goals. I mean, this is the proof's in the puds. Numbers are there to back it up. But yeah, City just weren't at the level they usually are today. And I think, personally, it's more credit to how Liverpool executed on the day than City not being up to scratch on the day. I think Liverpool were fantastic. Last week, I said Liverpool were the hardest team we've played all season. And the defeat by no means means they're a bad team. And we saw it today. They went out there, they executed. They should have scored more goals. Darwin Nunes should have passed to either one of Salah or Jota. Trent also had an open goal, even though it wasn't easy to finish. But in general, Liverpool fully deserving of 3 points. I don't think, aside the disallowed goal, which was rightfully disallowed, I don't think City had any clear-cut chance that you look back and think, oh, if they had scored that, it might have been
different. I mean, there was one with Haaland there, where the header that he shot right at Alisson.
Yeah, but that I don't think that's
clear.
They didn't have any.
But Haaland, that's clear cut, though.
I mean, I get, but like, I don't think they have any chances. You look back and think, oh, had he taken that, that would have changed the outcome of the game. So, fully deserved victory for Liverpool, and it could be what kickstarts their season.
I want to know what did you two think when you saw the lineup, though?
I thought Nunes should have started. That was my only problem.
Really, I was very comfortable with it, honestly. I didn't want Henderson to start, and I like that they took creativity with Javi. I wanted Javi or Fabio to start, and I like that Javi started. And like at the beginning of the game, it was kind of like 4-4-2 a bit when Javi went to right central midfield, and then Salah tucked in centrally, and then when the game went on, they just went back to 4-3-3, and I feel like stuff like that kind of helps you as the game develops as well.
I thought it was a pretty good lineup from Liverpool. I did not expect Trent to start after what has been going on of recent. Not necessarily
he's injured. He's injured. That's right.
He did come on though, but even if he was fully fit, I wouldn't have expected him to start, because sometimes it's just good to take whatever any player that's going through stuff like that out of the limelight. Just take
him out of a game like that.
A game of this magnitude as well. So people seem to forget the Joe Gomez and Van Dijk partnership in 1920 was rock solid. Rock solid. They considered, obviously, before the season was cut off for COVID, they were solid together. Obviously, I've spoken about Robertson. Milner, I didn't expect anything from him, but he stepped up. That's why they keep giving him new contract after new contract. So
they'll probably give him another one.
So yeah, like I said, it was a good win for Liverpool. And
before we move on from the game, though, what do you think about like Salah playing?
I was going to ask you to touch up on Salah just now, because I feel like a lot of people have been talking crazy on his name. Now, you see, I engage in banter. I did say some Yasu pocketing last week. But it was true. It was true. But I was literally telling Udwag the other day that I'm not...
Even Malasia as well.
We're not going.
Who? I said Malasia.
Said who?
Malasia.
Who's that?
Ask Salah. Go ahead.
Yeah. I really like Salah more central, to be fair.
Yeah.
Like, that's where you need more Salah.
I think hugging the touchline was nullifying his game to an extent. But even regardless of that, you saw the mentality he played with today. Him and VVD played with their heart on their sleeve. They were not going to lose this game for any reason. He was like, okay, you guys have been talking crazy on my name. It's time for me to shut the whole crowd up. And who better to shut it up against than Man City? He won every single thing today. Look at the picture where he has there. Salah was literally, Bernardo was hanging on to Salah for his dear life, and they didn't even call a foul on that. I thought Klopp also outcoached Pep. Let's not ever. Let's not.
Yo, this Pep.
Let's not leave him out of this.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let me not even. Is it man's dick? Was it back three today?
Sorry?
What? Was it back three today from Pep?
Was it what?
Was it back three?
Yeah. No. 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 They usually play. Wait, it might
Ake played left. I know Ake played left.
Ake played left back. Cancelo played right back. Yeah, that's true. That's okay, true. Okay, my bad. That's true.
So Walker is injured. Sergio Gomez.
Yeah, I thought in every facet Liverpool were the better team. Like Uduak said, just the way they started as well. They were winning every second ball. They were winning every duel. Arteta would have been impressed with that performance. So
I think the way they closed players down, it didn't give like De Bruyne a time to, you know, like his trademark crosses. Mm-hmm.
He tried it a couple times as well.
A lot of his crosses were not on target, and I think it's because of how quickly they closed him down. They didn't give him enough time on the ball. And Bernardo was basically playing defense most of the
game. Yeah, I don't think he had a good game.
He didn't. No, a lot of Man City. I don't know how many Man City players had good games today.
I don't know if any of them had standout moments. Like you can say, oh,
I don't think any of them had a good game. Yeah, and to be honest,
you guys believe in home advantage.
I do.
Yeah, I think I do. So.
But I think...
No,
I
but
think,
genuinely, like, why does Pep finally have to be this type of team?
I think
Liverpool and Real Madrid, them.
Home advantage exists. Like, going to a place like Anfield, you can lose based off of solely emotions. Even going... Like, you realize that when you play these small teams at home, it's a totally different game than when you actually go to their grounds and play against them, because the fans are involved, the atmosphere is involved. As cliche as it sounds, fans can give the players extra energy, can pump them up, can spur them on to do things that they never thought they were going to be able to do. So I think home advantage plays a key part, but regardless, it changes nothing to do with the fact that Liverpool were just the better team on the day and deserved 3 points. And everybody talking crazy on their name, because I asked to do a class week, is this a blip or is this the end of the road? And I thought it was a blip, and I still think it's a blip. And I still think Liverpool will end up in the top four this season.
Yeah,
numerically, it will be difficult for them to win the Premier League just because of that team that they played against today. They can, like I said, go on a 16-game win streak. But aside that, they're really... I think this was the win they needed for people to actually now put respect on their name again. Yeah. Any more thoughts on the game? Yeah.
Before we leave the game, what did you guys think about the top 11 thing on Twitter?
I don't care. I just thought it was fun. I thought people did that to troll, honestly speaking.
Yeah. No, Scarsford did top 11.
So Liverpool started the game week at 11th position. And you know, they normally do top 10, then bottom 10. So now the top 11 and bottom 9. I don't know why people were complaining so much.
No, they won't have to disrespect you guys like that again.
Big win for Liverpool, man. Big win for Liverpool. I don't know your next few fixtures, but this is definitely the type of result that
I'm playing West Ham next, and I'm scared.
This is definitely the type of result that can kickstart your season. Mo Salah, bro, take a bow. Matter of fact, take 3 bows. Matter of fact, take as many bows as you want, bro. Put that team on his back today, especially on offense. I respect it so much, man. Yeah, so any other thoughts on the game?
No.
All right, let's move on to the team that's 4 points clear at the top of the table. Arsenal 1, Leeds 0.
What was the delay?
Huh?
What was the delay? I saw something about...
Really, they don't get lights for Leeds Stadium.
Oh, my God.
But you know what? I blame you all.
That's your city, Udon.
No,
that's your city.
He's not there anymore.
I'm not there again. No. I removed my hand from this
game. But yeah, the game started on like 1 minute in. The ref said his mic's earphone wasn't working. So then VAR wasn't working. And then Jesse March actually came out after the game and said they considered playing the game without VAR. Thankfully they didn't. But yeah, everything was resolved. Game kicked off. I thought in the first half we were by far the better team. They pressed well, but I don't think they had any clear-cut chances. I think we could have easily gone into the break like 2-0 up, 3-0 up. But then a moment of brilliance from Saka after an ignorant pass from Rodrigo. Did you guys see that finish?
Wow.
Oh my God.
I think Saka is better than 40, you know.
I I like that. I like that. I'm gonna clip that. Yeah, I would actually clip that. But yeah, moment of brilliance from Saka. That was 8 goals and assists in his last 7 games.
Wow.
What an absolute player, man. What a player. He's scored 4 goals in the past week. Weight of pass from Odegaard on that. Like I was telling Duak on Wednesday, on Friday, sorry. Odegaard's weight of pass is second to none, man.
Odegaard is literally what we need Bruno to be.
Duak, we don't have time for another Bruno rant. We're not doing this today. But in the second half, actually, credit to Leeds, man. That's probably the most difficult game Arsenal have played.
I thought you just said Liverpool.
What did you say?
There's a new week. I'm serious. Because in the second half, okay. It was all Leeds, bro. Arsenal, I don't think we had any chance in the second half. All Leeds. It was wave after wave of Leeds attack.
But did you lose to them?
Bro, it doesn't mean it was as difficult a game as United.
I was wondering where it was going.
But it was wave after wave of Leeds attack. Credit to Jesse Marsh. He set his team up in the right way. They pressed us. I thought Arteta was a bit naive in starting Tomiyasu because, especially in the first half, he looked uncomfortable with the build-up and because, obviously, he's a right-footed defender playing right, left-back. So, it looked a bit difficult for him. But in general, man, credit to Arsenal, the mentality to, you know, despite the fact that wave and wave of attacks were being thrown against them, to hold still, keep a clean sheet. Ramsdale was phenomenal today. Saliba, even besides the handball, people were saying he was horrible. I don't think he was that bad at all. I think he actually relieved us in terms of Leeds press a couple times a game with a few dummies here and there. I thought Gabriel was the best defender on the day. I thought Ben White did his thing as usual. Five had a horrible game. Well, we're not even going to speak about that.
With the penalty,
my man of the match was Gabriel. No, Ramsdale. Yeah. You look at the penalty miss from Bamford, even if he didn't put it wide, Ramsdale was right there to save it. So, you know, big results from Arsenal. Obviously, with the results elsewhere, they're now 4 points clear. They're top of the Premier League table. They've won, I think, 12 of their first 13 games in all competitions this season. Regardless of who you support, regardless of how much you hate Arsenal, you have to give credit where credit is due.
Arsenal are my host in this title race.
They are what?
They're my host in the title race.
You're backing us?
Yeah.
I like that, man.
I don't mess with you.
I'm not putting us in the title race, but I like that. Udog, what about you?
No, you're definitely in the title race, though.
What have you made of Arsenal's start to the season, obviously, to this game? Set aside the hate, man.
This is frustrating. I can't live through a year where Arsenal leaves the Premier League. I can't. You guys are not in the title.
I don't think they'll leave the Premier League, but they'll give City a good run.
No, but I'm saying like if it possibly happens, like I can't live through this, man. Everyone is already used to City winning Prem. Yeah. It's boring.
City are your biggest. City are your neighbors, though. How can you let your direct rivals win over Arsenal?
Yeah, and they can't even say City have more money.
It's normal. Like it's boring now. Like no one cares. If City wins Prem this season, no one is going to care. That's how.
And if Arsenal like, wins, no one will care too.
Only that would
Arsenal,
be a three-peat.
I'll care.
Exactly. Would you want City to three-peat? Come on, come on.
I don't think you're a real Man United fan.
Exactly.
They're doing like it's not possible. That's crazy. I don't want them to win Champions League, but like.
But you just surrendered the league.
Tottenham should win. Premier League. Yeah.
Stop. That's not good. But yeah, like I was saying, Arsenal showed great mentality, and a lot of people are complaining about the refereeing decisions. I thought the only thing the ref got wrong today was giving Leeds a penalty. That was the only thing he did wrong today. Because if you look back at the decision, he was, I think it was, what's their right winger's name? Harrison? I think it was Harrison. I think Harrison was offside in the build-up. Not even think. He was clearly like a yard or two offside in the build-up. And VAR looked at it. VAR showed the replay and still gave the penalty. So, justice that it was missed. The the Gabriel red card was ridiculous, beyond ridiculous. Bamford literally fouled him, And, you know, everybody's saying he kicked out. His leg was up there and Bamford fell down. That was just theatrics, in my opinion. Good decision to reverse the red card and not give them the penalty. I'm actually 958 years old after that game now, because it took a couple years off of my life expectancy. But big 3 points, back at the top of the table, 4 points clear. Just keep riding the wave, man. Who knows? Who knows?
Have fun.
Have fun while it lasts. And if it lasts till after 38 games, then have fun till after the summer.
Because next season...
Then you will have fun for the next 10 years of his life.
I would give anything. I would give anything for me to be confident that Arsenal will win the Premier League, bro.
I feel like a top three finish would still be very big for Arsenal.
I'm not getting too ahead of myself, but like I've said countless times, huge win. They didn't even, in fact, Arsenal, they did it the Tottenham way. Generally, I don't know how Tottenham fans do this every week, because I couldn't survive those final 10 minutes, but luckily we escaped with 3 points. And yeah, thank you, Liverpool, for the favor.
Did you watch the Tottenham game?
Yes, I did. Oh, no, I didn't. I was at work. But I expected... But when I came back home, I watched like a 30-minute breakdown of the game. And I thought it was actually one of their better performances this season. And that's saying a lot.
Bissouma, when he plays for them, he makes them more creative and more comfortable in possession.
If Bissouma is your most creative player, you might have a problem. But yeah,
that guy is a terrorist.
I think everything
could be happening.
No, but I think Everton actually didn't. They didn't have a place in the game at all. Tottenham fans talking about Harry Kane. Arsenal decisions today. Harry Kane clearly died for the penalty. I thought it was a joke of a decision. Honestly speaking, I thought in next 10 years it's never a penalty.
That was a penalty for me.
What do you mean?
That was a penalty.
He clearly dived.
He didn't, man.
But yeah, I thought it was one of their better performances. Deserved 3 points. Clearly better than the win against Brighton. Any thoughts on Spurs? Do you think they are dark horses in the title race? Certified you in
form? You can't play. Like, to be fair, this game was like one of the first games they've actually played with possession. And that's because Lampard set his team up to play without the ball. And to be fair, I think Everton had very good chances. Onana should have scored.
Yeah, he should definitely have
scored. Gray had a good chance as well. And it's like, when you miss these chances, you get them more into the game.
Especially playing against a team like Tottenham, who don't really control the ball, but just have one or two moments of brilliance.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, Bissouma coming into the midfield, especially the timing, because this guy got injured, and shortly after, Kane scored. And Bissouma was already there, so they already had that defensive cover to protect the lead, and it was just smooth sailing from there.
I also think, though, like a front three of Richarlison, Son, and Kane, it's just not fluid. As they say, it's not giving.
Kulusevski
is quite far and away their most creative player. Did you guys?
You know, their most creative player, though.
Who else is more creative?
Yeah, second, Kane is their most creative. He needs to play for Kane to be more attacking.
I think Conte should actually try Richarlison off the left and Son off the right, simply because, you know, Son has no weak foot.
Left foot. Yeah, exactly. I think
because Richarlison looks very uncomfortable on the right hand side.
He's not comfortable. Even on the left, he can come centrally for like headers, back post or something like that. Mm-hmm. But on the right, he's just not effective.
Not comfortable. Richarlison likes running at players. But even I was watching the game against Arsenal. Had Zinchenko one-on-one on the right.
He just did not take it. And it was funny because like a few minutes before that, Jesus had dribbled.
Yeah.
Was it Romero, I think.
Yeah, so Romero and Dyer.
Thinking that I was thinking this is my Brazilian teammate. So me, I have it in me as well. And he flopped.
Yeah. So I don't know, but like I said, Spurs keep winning. The win was less ugly than last time. Any thoughts on Spurs game earlier? Spurs.
What do you think about Harry Kane's season so far, though?
He's having a phenomenal season, man. Just because of that disgusting robot that we cannot talk about the season Harry Kane is having. Not that we cannot talk, but we barely talk about the season Kane is having. But he's had a phenomenal season. I think that's 8 goals in 9 games now. On pace for 32 or 34 Premier League goals, which either levels Salah's record or breaks the current record for most goals in a season. So credit to Kane. He's had an excellent season. He's been their only consistent attacker. Son, Funtok called him a purple chart merchant on this podcast, and I'm actually starting to agree. Like, he doesn't influence the game. He's just an insane ball striker.
He's a good finisher.
What do you say?
In the Premier League. How do you run their top two in the Premier League?
That's why they win games solely because of their front three. It's probably the best in Premier
top
League.
Three, it's definitely up there because they're effective. That's why they work so well. Because Kane and Son, when they get chances, they actually take it and they know how to get chances between themselves at points in the game. And it's just, I don't know. That goal he scored against Frankfurt, that was the 50th goal they scored in between themselves. And that's just ridiculous from two players. Assisting each other.
Spurs win ugly again. I think their level on points with City only behind of on goal difference. So regardless of what we say about their football, it does get them results. Like our expression said the other day, they were playing champagne football in 2016-17 and Conte was playing dead football. But only one person is remembered as the Premier League champion that season, and it is Chelsea. So I can't overlook, the same way I can't overlook Liverpool is the same way I cannot overlook Spurs. They are, in my opinion, they are a dark horse in the title race, and I want to vomit saying that, but it's the truth.
Top four is going to be fired, though.
Yep. And speaking of top four, man, for me, the most exciting project in England right now is Chelsea, bro. I love what Graham Potter is doing with this team. And I said it was scary when he got appointed. I was telling him to account Todd Boehly might actually know what he's doing and he's not just a clueless American. And so far, so good under Potter. A lot of people claim he's a new manager bounce, but I don't think so. I think Graham Potter is actually an elite manager that is getting his setup right in Chelsea. I think you can clearly see the influence he's having on Mason Mount. Mason Mount was having a horrible season. Potter comes in scoring free kicks. Like, I respect Chelsea.
I think Mason Mount is McAllister. Didn't see that goal McAllister scored for I'm telling you, he's telling him the exact same thing.
But Mount has had an excellent season. He's been on excellent form ever since Potter stepped in as the new manager of Chelsea. Well, what do you make of Chelsea? What do you think their ceiling is this season? Would you put them ahead of like Spurs or even Arsenal in terms of being the closest challengers to City or something?
Yeah, I think we need to see more of Potter, though. How many games has he played? Has he played up to 10?
No, I think it's 5.
Yeah, I think we need to see a couple more games.
So you're not ready to crown them anything yet?
Yeah, I'm not jumping in yet. No.
Now, I've been on
the... They're actually creating chances. Like, against Tuchel, Chelsea was... They've been playing more like Conte, basically, where their chances came from nothing most of the time. And under Tuchel, they're comfortable in possession, happy to have the ball, changing positions. And it's interesting to watch, first of all. And the fact that he has such depth, like, is crazy.
It's a very exciting project going on in Chelsea. They're one of my favorite teams to watch right now. Mason Mount is one of my favorite players to watch. He has been my favorite player to watch this past month. Wow. Even though I don't rate him so much, but like Potter is doing like wonders with him. I'm like, is this Mason Mount? What? But yeah, Chelsea, I think they won today 2-0. Tyrone Mings, bro, maybe you need to cut your dreads. Maybe that's why he's holding you back as a footballer, because he's been absolutely horrible all season. He's had a dreadful year.
Gerard lost the captaincy.
Lost the captaincy. got dropped, then Diego Carlos gets injured, gets back into the team, and has dropped consistent, solid 0/10s ever since he's been in the team. I respect it. Villa actually did play well, though. They did play well. They should have taken something from the game. I think they had an accumulated an XG of 2 points or something. But
where do you think they'll finish the season?
Where do you think Villa will finish the season?
Yeah.
Their start has been too horrible to overcome, given the quality that's in the Premier League these days. I think they'll do well to finish 13th. But I realistically see like 15th, 16th for them.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, like, I hate that. Those guys are so annoying. And this is what I was saying, like, Gerard, forget about the fact that Diego Carlos is injured. That guy has so many good players to be winning three, four games in like 18 matches. Like that, that's Bruno Lage type form. And you can't compare this Aston Villa's attack to Wolves' attack.
But to be honest though, sometimes like I feel like we let players get away with murder all in the name of holding the manager accountable. Coutinho has been off it all season long.
Yeah.
No, but he has a lot more than Coutinho. When he drops Coutinho,
I was going to go on. Buendia has been horrible since he signed for them. He hasn't had an impact.
Do you guys think Gerrard has a better team than Rodgers had in 2020-21?
Last season?
No. Of course not.
But
that season,
he has a really good team.
Leicester was playing consistently well.
Yeah, but the thing is, this guy has a really good team, Gerrard. But it's only a good team on paper. It's all well and good calling out names like Coutinho, Emiliano Buendia, Leon Bailey, Ollie Watkins, Danny Ings. They should be up there with Newcastle right now. But the truth is, these players are not performing to the expectations that we have for them. And at some point,
the manager's fault. Though.
I don't know whether we can put all that. I think Coutinho has just lost it. Because it's the same Coutinho that was balling out under Gerrard last season. So what's happened within the space of, 3 months? Did he eat too much paella during the summer? I don't know.
To be fair, I gave up on Aston
Villa. I never thought he was going to be consistent, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, they invested so much money in the likes of Buendia, Ings, Bailey,
yeah.
Yeah, for them to be given
very random. For Diego Camara this summer as well.
They invested heavily in these guys for them to be giving them the numbers they're giving them right now. Yeah. I can't put all this on Gerrard. I think even though I don't watch Aston Villa often,
most of the players are not his as well.
Even though I don't watch Aston Villa often, I mean, how can you overcome what Tyrone Mings did in 5 minutes? To hand Chelsea the league today. How can you overcome that? Like sometimes we let players get away with murder all in the name of holding the manager accountable. Players need to be held accountable as well. As far as I'm concerned, today is on Tyrone Mings. Their whole season is on Tyrone Mings. I blame him for everything. Just like our
personal You can't blame because I've watched some of their games.
I'm not saying Gerrard doesn't hold any blame, but he's getting way too much of the blame as opposed to like holding players accountable for some of the nonsense we've seen them do this season. Yeah, they have a way better team than this. They should be doing better.
No, but even like last season as well, like even when they were on form, they still lost like a few games like towards the ending. Like I'm telling you, like please, I don't know what the number is, but this guy has less than 5 wins in 18, 19 games. Like, come on. Like, that is relegation type form.
I hear that. And if I were Villa, I'd probably sack him, to be fair. Even though I just love Stevie G, I'd probably sack him because the results aren't good enough. But I'm saying we are letting a lot of these Aston Villa players get away.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying.
They've spent too much money on Leon Bailey for him not to have up to 10 Premier League goals in a season and a quarter. Come on.
How much?
He was injured last season.
Okay, what of Emiliano Buendia?
Buendia is not.
We literally had people like so-called tacticals on Twitter saying, oh, Smith Rowe should leave Arsenal for Villa because they have a higher trajectory than Arsenal. This was in 2021.
No, but even like Ings, though, like in a lot of games, he doesn't get anything. And obviously, Ings is a finisher. He doesn't do much crazy.
On that reason, I blame
Gerrard. If you're not feeding him, he can't do anything. Like, he goal scored against IM Everton. That was his only chance in the game. And I think that's his last goal.
Because consistently trying to fit in Ollie Watkins and Danny Ings in the same team, when for over a year it has not worked. If I were Villa, I would sack Gerrard and go and get Bodo Glimt manager. He can transform this Villa team.
How do you feel about Jack Grealish's money?
Sorry?
How do you feel that they spent the money from Jack Grealish?
At the time, I thought they recruited very well. At the time, I thought they recruited, like, come on. They went out and got Emiliano Buendia, an Arsenal target at the time. Went out and got Felipe Coutinho. Went out and got Glenn Kamara, Diego Carlos, Leon Bailey, Danny Ings. All these are, they are all quality players. All quality players. All quality players that will improve the fate of a lot of mid-table teams in the Premier League. So for you to have that level of talent in your team and not perform, obviously, the manager will pay for that, but these players have to pay for their sins as well. Like Lucas Digne that they were saying was top three left back.
That guy cannot defend. That guy cannot defend to save his life.
It's not all on
Gerrard. He can cross and he's fast.
Not all on Gerrard. Players are getting murdered, but we spent too much time on Villa and Chelsea. Let's move on to Newcastle versus Manchester United.
I won't spend too long on this.
What did you make of the game?
It was boring. It was a snooze fest. I literally almost slept off during the game. It was, and I knew it was going to be like this once I didn't see Eriksen in the lineup, and I knew that creativity was in the hands of Bruno Fernandes. I was just like, nah. Yeah. And to be fair, he had a decent game, but it's like there's only so much he can do by himself. Again, especially against a team like Newcastle, the way they close down, you need somebody like
that midfielder with
Eriksen's range of passing to get like a wide range of chances. Because and Anthony as well, sometimes I feel like he was timid to take on. He was literally playing against Dan Burn. He's playing against Dan freaking Burn. And a lot of times when he actually passed him, he's crossing. He kept going for the outside foot. I don't know if you guys have been saying FIFA 23. I think that's all he had. Like, that's the only thing everybody does now. And that's all he did in this game. Outside foot cross. Like, it wasn't working. Cut inside. Like, I've watched Dan Burn from Brighton to Newcastle. I respect him. But there's no way that if Anthony puts his head down the way like Diaz even Gray runs at Osaka, like the way they run at defenders, you would have so many chances in that game. Even Sancho, Trippier is not the best one-on-one defender. Like, it was a boring game.
There's absolutely no way any Premier League winger should not be able to take on, what was his name?
Dan Burn.
I'm sorry. As long as you're a winger in the Premier League, you should be able to take him on. But, Welly, what have you made of United this season and so far, this particular game, and then so far?
I think they can finish in top four and win the Europa League this season.
Are you saying the Giants are going into the Europa League?
Who's going to the Europa League?
Barcelona. Barcelona, Juventus.
What did you not say?
You said Barcelona.
Sorry for going back to the City game. I just remember something. Sorry about that.
No, you're allowed.
What do you guys feel about Pep not making any sub until the final minutes?
Well, who could he have brought on? Julian Alvarez? Probably Alvarez
that.
For Foden.
He does that all the time.
How
do you guys feel about him doing that?
Even against Crystal Palace, when there were two goals down, he didn't make any subs.
And yeah, zero sub.
He always does that.
Who was right winger for City today? Bernardo?
Bernardo. He was playing left back. He was playing left back.
I feel like he could have tried to bring on maybe
There was Mahrez.
Julian Alvarez to stretch the Liverpool defense. Besides that, I don't see any changes he could have made that would have had, such an effect on the game.
I think they missed like a Grealish in this game, to be honest. Yeah. I think they definitely missed Grealish. Mahrez, to be honest, I don't know. Like, he needed to bring on a different type of player because the players on the pitch were not doing it.
I don't think that's the reason they lost, though. I just thought they were outclassed by Liverpool from start to finish in every facet of the game.
Back to Man United. What do you guys think about ETH, Eric Ten Hag, this season?
I like him.
I think we should start with the Man United fan. What do you think?
We should have won that game. I forgot to mention. Oh my days!
Is it Rashford's chance?
Oh, Fred
was
And Rashford shoot. He could have scored. He could have literally scored if he shot. A lot of Premier League strikers would shoot. I know it was wide, blah, blah, blah. He should have shot. And when he gave it to Fred, Fred should have put that in the back of the net. I even thought they fouled him, but no. He made clean contact with the ball and he put it too wide of an empty post.
Yeah.
Nah.
Fred is a criminal.
I can't believe it. And people were saying stuff about penalty. They should have gotten a penalty. Varane killed Wilson. Varane killed Wilson in that box. I don't know how they didn't get this, but that Sancho one was revenge. I wasn't even expecting it.
I thought it was a monumental disaster class from Fred. I thought he was.
Yeah, it's funny how when Liverpool signed Keita and Man United signed Fred, we thought it was going to be this.
Midfield battle for years. But Fred was horrible today. I thought Casemiro had a decent game. I thought he played a better game than the Everton game. I don't know if you guys saw Statman Dave posting Fred's numbers at halftime and calling him chaotically creative. That was the biggest irony of the game for me.
Wow.
For me. I thought Shaw had a pretty good game as well. I thought he's been good ever since. I think he's been good ever since they put him back in the lineup.
He played well for England.
Udak knows my problems with having Anthony and Sancho as your wingers. They're just not going to take anybody on.
Anthony does. Anthony did more often and Sancho did a bit. But the thing is that it's not like this is literally their game. From when we signed these players, from the teams they were in before, they were taking on men and creating for the team. I don't understand. Why is it that when they come to our team and they get isolated with fullbacks, they don't want to take Dan Burn?
Hopefully, Sancho will stop Man United from signing English talents from Dortmund.
That's Jude Bellingham.
If Mane and Liverpool goes for Bellingham, Bellingham will go to Liverpool. It's Real Madrid you should be worried about, not Man U.
Madrid have also stolen Schwaben from you guys. So.
I'm worried, about Man
City. If Man City should beg, let's say Gundogan leaves, they will now say, we need to replace
You know what's crazy? I take Gundogan at Arsenal.
I'll take him
to get rid of Bruno.
I was about to ask
you, Doug, what did you make of Ronaldo's performance today?
It was average. He didn't really do anything.
What do you think about the goal he scored? Where he pressed the keeper.
His mentality. I like the winner's mentality. What was killing me was that the guy really tried celebrating. The one that he scored that Sancho gave him, he was so offside. Like, bro, get back on. I don't know, man. And Bruno.
How many more years does he have in his contract, Ronaldo?
He runs out this season and he has an option for a further season.
Well, he's not going to take it.
Is he a player option or a team option?
It has to be player with Ronaldo.
I think he's a team option.
He's usually a team option with Man United.
Yeah, I think it's a team option, but I don't think we're going to take it. We need an actual attacker. I mean, we need a striker that can be playing week in, week out.
I need him
a problem in the market right now.
I need him to retire. the revisionism on his name is becoming irritating.
What would be a good season for you?
He used to retire before. What?
For Manu, yeah. What would be a good season for you?
Lastly,
just Champions League next season. That's it. I don't care how he gets it. Whether it's... No, but in Premier League, I would at least like to finish like top five. Even if we miss out and win Europa and get Champions League, but as long as we're like with the other teams and not too far off, then get Champions League, make more transfers in January and summer, the next season we can actually be serious about something.
Yeah,
I respect.
But that. This season, like, I just want Champions League, really. I don't even mind. Like, yeah, I just want Champions League.
I respect that. I think a good season for United will be Champions League football anyways. Anyhow they get it. Even if they add winners of FA Cup qualify for Champions League, then they should go all out in the FA Cup because the Champions League will definitely accelerate Ten Hag's process.
And transfers.
Yeah. But right now, the only thing, when I think about Man United, there's only one thing on my mind, and that's January 21st.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, you know.
The scary part about Arsenal is, imagine if they had Champions League football. Yes, and the money as well.
Vlahovic, hold that, by the way. I'm going to... Vlahovic, hold that. You useless...
You can't really sign for the biggest terrorist.
Vlahovic, hold that. That thing hurt me so bad, man. That thing hurt me so bad. Vlahovic and Bruno G. Bruno G was even trolling us. I cannot wait to play Newcastle.
Allegri is a thief. He's a thief, bro.
Locatelli,
you too. He's stealing from Juventus and he's working with his brother, Simeone, and his cousin Conte to take down football from within.
That's my favorite saying. Jachi came on this podcast and said he feels like Simeone is doing an inside job to take down
football
from within.
Hey, and Rand said that João Felix is playing for the devil himself. Yeah, João Felix couldn't have picked a worse
that's so true, man.
Six-year contract till he's 25.
So you mean he still has 3 years left on his contract?
He has 3 years left.
That's crazy.
He stopped. He signed.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
He didn't know.
But yeah, that's it for Man United and the Premier League. There was a big game outside the scopes of the Premier League today. El Clásico, everyone's favorite fixture, Barcelona versus Real Madrid.
El Clásico was an Anfield. But continue.
Pez. Madrid ran out 3-1 winners. Nothing much more than I expected, though.
Can I say one thing before I forget?
Yeah, go on.
I'm Darwin Nunez's biggest fan, but Lewandowski had a Darwin Nunez performance today.
Yeah, he missed an open goal.
Yeah, to be fair, that one was offside. It should have been offside.
Yeah, but he had a horrible game. Okay, horrible is...
I didn't watch the game. I just...
No, it's not horrible.
Horrible is harsh, but he doesn't have a great game.
I was really expecting him to...
I was actually shocked to see that Xavi actually started Frankie de Jong because he'd been starting Gavi. And I thought, Gavi hasn't been great all season.
He doesn't like Frankie. I don't know. I don't think Frankie was
bad today. I think he assisted Ferran Torres' goal or he... He had a huge hand to, I can't remember what, but he had a huge hand to play in Ferran Torres' goal as well. Rafinha, man, we need to start talking about this guy, bro. He hasn't had the impact we all expected him to have in Barcelona. Dembele.
I feel like he, to be fair, when they play well, obviously, him and Dembele, they have very good
games. Dembele wasn't on it today. Yeah. And
even
Barcelona's,
against Inter, I think.
No, I thought Dembele actually had a good first half against Inter.
Second half his crosses were just all over the place.
But Barcelona's defense is a huge problem for me. I can't even lie. Today they started
playing Pique in 2022.
No, I don't even know. Pique didn't play today. It was Baldi.
No, I know. He's talking about Inter. Yeah. You see what he did? Let's not even get
it. Was Baldi, Garcia, Koundé, and Sergio Roberto.
Sergio Roberto, yeah.
Yeah. Their defense was not on it today. Their defense has not been I won't say their defense has not been good all season, but like their defense, I think Araujo is their best defender, and I think it will definitely improve. But they need a lot of improvements in the fullback position. Marcos Alonso in 2022 simply is just not it. I'm not a big fan of Balde. Sergio Roberto might be the middest footballer I've ever seen in my life alongside
Bellerin played for them.
Bellerin hasn't been playing often, but
Sergio Roberto is holding on to that PSG performance. That PSG goal.
He's literally one of those footballers that their career is defined by one moment. One moment and one moment alone.
We guys shouldn't talk about that guy like that one.
But on the Madrid side of things...
Catalan graduate.
On the Madrid side of things, Madrid were really good today. They showed their dominance over Barcelona. I think the first episode of this pod, I said Barcelona, like, they can sign whoever they want. Madrid is still going to showcase their dominance over them in La Liga this season. I just should.
Yeah.
Toni Kroos.
For a few years, like,
I said in the last episode, Toni Kroos has been a top three midfielder in the world this season, and he was
superb. Yeah, we're talking about his 96 passing accuracy.
He was superb today. He did all the hard work for the first goal. The pass into Vinicius before Benzema scored off the rebound was just disgusting. Federico Valverde.
Incredible.
Oof.
How old is he?
I think he's 24.
Yeah. Ancelotti, what's his best position last season, asking him why Ancelotti was playing him on wing. You know, he was loading up for goals and assists this season.
Let me confirm. Yeah, Fede is 24. Yeah. What a player, man. What a player. Benzema did his thing. Rodrigo as well, man. I feel so bad for Rodrigo because I think his potential is so high, but there's so much talent in that Real Madrid team right now in the likes of Vinicius and Fede. Obviously, Fede playing on the right wing. He just can't seem to get this. But I think on the left-hand side, Rodrigo will cause any team in the world problems. Came on today, caused Barcelona problems, eventually scored the penalty. Man, Madrid looking...
There's something I thought of during the game, though. Like, what's the gap between Vinicius and Saka right now? Because I don't see much.
Saka?
Yeah. Or Vinicius Jr.
Vinicius had 40 goals and assists last season.
I'm talking about right now, though.
I think that's the major difference between two of them, though. I think Vinny has more numbers than Saka.
Yeah.
I feel like Vinny is a bit, he's just a bit more closer to world class than Saka is. But Saka, like you said, you're actually right, man. The difference is not crazy between
But the truth is, naturally, Vinny is a more talented player than Saka. Just
definitely. Saka probably just works harder.
Yeah, natural wisdom. And so game comes easier for Vinny, and he's Brazilian and all that. But I get your point. Vinny does have Vinny also has numbers to back him. But the fact that Camavinga is not even starting for this Real Madrid team, it's insane. It's insane.
And they want to get Bellingham as well. Like, the transition is just going to be ridiculous.
I don't know if Tchouaméni. What a player, man.
No, but to be fair, like, in a few years, that El Clasico midfield battle is going to be disgusting, though. It's going to be Gavi, Pedri, Tchouaméni, Camavinga. Those Gavi and Pedri, I watched them control Bayern's midfield, guys. Those two small boys.
I love Pedri, but I'm not Gavi's biggest fan.
I am, though. I Gavi is 18 years old. Gavi's literally 18 years old, man. He's too good for his age.
You prefer them to Bellingham?
No. To who?
Bellingham.
I would take Bellingham.
I'll take Pedri. I'll take Pedri.
I like bells.
Bells is crazy. But yeah, man, I think we've covered it all for today. What a week of football, man. Arsenal Invincibles record protected for another year. Top of the table, 4 points clear. Liverpool rejuvenated. Man United in pain. Just the perfect weekend, man. Just the absolute perfect weekend. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Highlight Podcast. I've been the voice of reason. Thank you for coming on the show, Welly. If you want to flex your background picture one more time for the viewers, you can go ahead and do so. Thank you for coming, Udwak. I hope Bruno continues to give you more and more pain, and you can come here and express whatever pain you have.
You know, you know that guy, he's always available. Like, he's literally never injured.
You know, I've just clocked Bruno is a trigger word for you.
Bruno is always available. Like, literally, he has never been injured. Why? Why? All these other players are getting injured. Martial is injured, but Bruno is injured. Please just end the show.
At least you don't have Henderson. No.
I told you, the day Welly turns on Henderson, his career is over.
And you have Thiago, Javier, and all these guys, man. Like, Bruno, where Eriksen is not in our midfield, we have... Imagine Henderson was your only creative outlet.
Is Van de Beek injured? Is Van de Beek injured? I don't see why he's not getting a minute in this team, though.
Van de Beek is injured. Even because he hasn't even been playing Europa games.
Mm. All right, but like I said, thank you guys for coming on the show. It was the perfect weekend of football. I hope to see you guys next week. Tell a friend to tell a friend, tell a friend to listen to the Highline Podcast. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and all podcast streaming platforms. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Highline Podcast. We'll see you in the next one. Goodbye.